So we pray, Heavenly Father, we know that when you were manifest in human flesh, in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, we know you were here for one purpose, to put the people in order by the word which you brought to them, and they refused because they were not of your fold. We knew they were not of the right seed. And we see the same thing happen today through a prophet. When you yourself have come down to set the church in order, to bring your word, and by that word bring in the sheep of your fold. And we know it is very, very wonderful that you've done that, and we have an ear to hear. We pray, therefore, as you have come to do that, we are here that you might do it for us, that we might know your word completely, perfectly, wonderfully, Lord, that it may have all the preeminence and you might have all the glory. So help us tonight in our meditations. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 23 of Spoken Word as Original Seed, and in the last few pages of this message, Brother Branham has been showing us how the denominationals take only a part of the word, which parts are usually promises that they feel they can cope with, especially by isolating them and many times taking them out of context and condition. Even as in John 3:16, and then refusing to face the reality of other scriptures, such as found in John 20, where Christ speaks of the church remitting sins. It is very evident that Brother Branham is telling us, look, you are agreeably and avidly making much of John 3:16, but you simply can't or won't or even face the reality, not just the possibility of, connecting John 3:16 to John 20:19. Whereas a denominational prostitute church takes it and remits sin in their denominational way that leaves the congregants as filthy as the world. Not only the Roman Catholic Church does this, but Protestants also, by virtue of their denominational remittance of sins. Since no scripture passes away or is void of power, but must be fulfilled, where is a bride church that is remitting sins? Does it believe in it? Or does it even have an idea how it might be done and then do it? To get into this tremendous promise operation, we're going to go back to page 50 in paragraph 5, which is the second last paragraph, or third last paragraph, the bottom of page 50, which we read before. Jesus could and did. It wasn't just that he could, he did. And you know what he's doing here? He's taking a very nice crack at those preachers that are worried about their pensions and their so-called reputation and their standing with their denomination and the people. It isn't that they couldn't, they could, but they wouldn't. Now, he's putting Christ here as the example, and Brother Branham is following in his footsteps as the prophet. So he says, Jesus could and did say, the Father that sent me is in me, and as he has sent me, so send I you. Now, of course, that was said in John 20:21, and this was said to his disciples. So reading again, the Father has sent me is with me. If I do not the works of the word promised of my Father, then don't believe me, because they are the ones that testify of me. Hallelujah. O church, where are you at? See? And so, back like in the days of Jesus, they said, oh, we know that God did do this, but not today. Now, back in Jesus' day, remember that Moses had spoken of him in Deuteronomy 18. He would be the Messiah, the prophet Messiah. And in Deuteronomy 18, you don't have the promise of a prophet coming on the scene and doing everything that Moses did. It's just that he would be able to fulfill the role of the prophet by vindication. And you notice that Brother Branham here is not really saying now, the Jews were saying, look, if you are that prophet, you're going to have to roll back the Red Sea, you're going to have to knock the Romans out in one big fell swoop, and do this and do that. the same as Moses did. But Brother Branham is not subtly, but actually using the Alpha and Omega principle here, as he said that if that same one is here in the form of the Holy Spirit, he's obligated to do for the Gentiles what he did for the Gentiles. Did for the Israel what he's now going to do for the Gentiles. So always keep this in mind when you're reading these things. Don't let that go out of your minds. If you do, your mind will begin to ramble, and you won't be putting this together in the way that the prophet wants us to bring it together. Because he said this same thing so many, many times with further elaboration, and all the time setting the principle of vindicated prophet and Alpha and Omega. Now notice positively that he does not say that Jesus would do the works that Moses did. It wasn't required. All the prophet does is come in the name of the Lord, and the mighty things that he says mightily come to pass, thereby vindicating him, as Nicodemus said, no man can do these works if say God be with him. You've got to be sent to God. Now what are you driving at? What do you want us to know? Even the Roman Catholic priest said, when God does a miracle, shut up, sit down, listen. See? But most people don't want to listen. Hey, tell me how to do it. Let me rope myself in on this. Hey, man, if you can do it, I can do it. They don't have a clue to predestination and order in the body of Christ. You can look out here in nature and see everything moves so perfectly in a thousandth part of a second over thousands of years. Order, when it comes to the church, hey, it's up for grabs. Come on. They don't believe Brother Bandy stood up before the congregation and said, God predestinated before Specter started us that you'd be sitting down there listening, I'd be up here preaching it. Well, you know, the roll of a planet brings another day. Oh, come on. The seed is the same that was from the beginning. Everything. Nothing changes. One day God's going to let it all go up in smoke. Even before then, he's going to purify it. Okay. So he says here, if I don't do the works that the word promised of my Father, don't believe me, because they are the ones that testify me. Now keep that in mind as we progress into a few more paragraphs, because he doesn't seem to be saying that. See? Although it kind of comes to the same thing. Now, he says, oh, church, where are you at? Now, he's bringing the church from the Alpha to the Omega. They said, oh, we know that God did do this, but not today. We know that God was with Moses. So we know that God was in Jesus, and we know this and we know that, but there's nobody going to tell us Alpha is Omega. We're never going to actually believe the truth of a vindicated prophet as God comes down and puts his own church in divine order through the word. Now notice the next paragraph. But the God that was with me is in me. Now he said the God that was with me, or the same God that was Moses, is with me. Because if you don't believe it, see what's written of me. Now that's a kind of a catchy thing right there, because if he's not thoroughly vindicated, that some scripture matches with him, you're not going to be able to say it. Now, Jesus himself took, in Luke 4, went to Isaiah, where it was written of me, of him. Now, see what the scripture said I would do. And if I don't fit the scriptures, then don't believe me. Now, if you want to take that to the Alpha, to the Omega, which is today, you've got to go to Luke 17 and 30, the repeat of the days of the Son of Man. But you are not going to get people to believe that the literal ministry of Jesus Christ has returned to earth. You're not going to get them to believe it. You and I believe it on the grounds of vindication to give the prophet the ability to interpret, explain, set forth in proper order the Scripture as relative to us, and in the past and in the future. You think they're going to take it? Ridiculous. Few there be that find it. How many people sell all they have? Not to give to the poor, but to buy the pearl at great price. The treasure. Very few do. Because they're not willing to lay down what they have, which is what they built on in their denominations and what they have been taught. You know, one of the most difficult things for people in this last few years was to learn the system of sevens in the computer and get away from the tens of the decimals. Now I guess they're not even teaching that in the school anymore. I don't keep track of those things. But you notice I wouldn't even waste my time trying to convert to the sevens of the system of mathematics. However, it's done, I don't, and I care less. But I know it was quite in vogue, and may still be in vogue for all I care. You see, I'm not interested. Translate that to the spiritual, no interest. Now, try for any fundamental person to have the schools teach creation, and they say, well, there's no scientific evidence. And there's no scientific evidence for evolution. Everybody sits back, oh, it's okay. Well, it's not okay. But I'll tell you what's going to happen. Your millions now living are going to die. They're not going to see the grace of God. There's going to be 6 or 8, 10 or 12, 14 people make the ark. Who cares? Maybe a few hundred. Now, Brother Branham said, let me say this not sacrilegiously, because he's talking about himself. You see all along here. Let me say the same thing about the message that I'm preaching. See? If God doesn't vindicate this to be the truth, then it's not. But if the Word vindicates, I'm telling you the truth, then believe the Word. Now see, that's like an absolute contradiction to what he's saying. Because if he's vindicated, he is telling the truth. And the only thing that will come out of his mouth is a vindicated word. He's in a rut or a channel. The Word of God in his mouth. See? Now, it starts pretty good. If God doesn't vindicate this to be the truth, then it's not. But if the Word vindicates, I'm telling the truth, then you then believe the Word. Now, what Word are you going to go to? Is it possible he's using the Word here as God in manifestation, which goes back to vindication? I don't know. I don't have to know what he's saying on the grounds I already know. If this is vague, it's not going to bother me one little bit. Because vindication is vindication, and a thing is vindicated, which means it's absolutely a proven premise and a law that you work on. And if you defy it, you're shot. It's just as simple as the law of gravity and the perpendicular. If this is the perpendicular, now my elbow, of course, is a hinge hung on here, so can't do it. But if this is the perpendicular, see, and I go this far off the center of balance and gravity, I'm going to fall. And nothing under God's high heaven is going to stop it. And you know why? Because God set that in order. Now, people don't want to believe that. I'm trying to reduce this down to simple mechanics and the simple truth. As long as the earth shall last, there'll be seed, time, and harvest. Now you try to change it. When you have vindication, you listen to what is being said. So what Brother Branham is actually telling you here is, the word that he speaks is 100% vindicated. And as you receive it, you will find that that is in the Bible, but not the way you thought it, not the way you read it, not the way you understood it, but the way that God himself said it to be. How many of those Israelites believed for 1 minute, those Jews believed, Brother Jesus Christ? Now, he said, then it's not. But if the word vindicates, I'm telling you the truth, then believe the word. See, that's the double thing in there that can throw you plumb out of a loop. They're what testify whether I'm telling the truth or not. They're the testimony. They testify for the ministry he gave me. Now, I can look this at 100 times, and I don't know if God gave a ministry or not. Now, Jesus said, search the scripture, and in them, he said, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify me. So you can go back after Brother Branham is finished and find what he said. So what I'm trying to show you is this. You're stuck with a vindicated prophet. And you don't even have to find it in the Bible. You believe it. And anytime anything comes up that looks like a contradiction to you, you're wrong, and that man is right. See, now this is what we're looking at here. And remember, you're up against God, the same as God was in Jesus, the human being, his own son from eternity, way back there with him. Now, he says here, this ministry that God gave me is absolutely to bring to you the word. That's the main reason for the ministry. My message, which is a ministry, is to declare that he is here. And that brings up the question, who is here? Why is he here? What is he doing? What will he continue to do? How will this end up? That's why I say, people say, I believe in the presence. And they no more believe the presence as we do than nothing. They haven't even got to the place of the judge. If you haven't got that far, you're nowhere. Because that goes back to the church ages. The first thing Brother Branham presented was a judge. As soon as the seals came along, was the judge. Who do you think came down in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? The judge. Who is the prophet? The judge. Why is there a white throne? Judge. Well, they built a wall around himself. Yep. I get a little bit tired of it. But it is really amusing, too. And flattering, if you know how to take it. He said, they testify for the ministry that he gave me. He promised this in the last days. Now, the point is, where did he promise it? Will people take Matthew 4, Matthew chapter 12, Acts 3, Luke 17 and 30, and believe that is the scripture that's being fulfilled? And the answer is no. Or how do they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh? The Omega. They won't do it. You think they're going to believe John 14 and 12? Greater works than he do? They won't do it. Now we're continuing where we left off. Now, let's read the whole thing. And let me say this, not sacrilegiously, but let me say the same thing about the message for me, myself. I am preaching this message just a parallel to Jesus Christ. He's the Alpha, I'm the Omega. If God doesn't vindicate this to be the truth, that's what I'm preaching, my message, then it's not. But if the word vindicates, I'm telling you the truth. In other words, if you can find in Scripture that I have the right to say and do what I'm doing, and you know that that is in the Word, we can go ahead with what's going on here. See? Now, the Scripture is finally the final authority. And that's what Jesus went to, the final authority. Now, he goes right on down. He said, he promised this for the last days. Here it is. He said what it would do. Here it is. We're going right into it now. Now, that has to do, I believe, a lot with the writing that Brother Branham wrote out. That he's preparing us for, that we're going to believe what he wrote down as the Word of God. You see whether it's the truth or not. Let God do the testifying. Now look, God is not going to testify to what he wrote. Only when it's too late. Only if you believe what he wrote. Did you have any right to believe, or he asks you to believe, is based upon the previous vindication. So if I was teamed up with a man playing horseshoe, and that guy flipped ringers every time he threw. Well, I wasn't teamed up quite yet.
but we're going to choose sides. And the next guy threw a ringer every 10 times. You think I wouldn't grab the guy that threw a ringer every time? Now, what's the matter with people that don't understand vindication? You trust your own stupidity or some idiot mouthing off who said, I'm sarcastic, but I've got a reason to be sarcastic. If I were just shooting my face off without that picture in vindication, I'd be nothing but a jerk. I still could be. But I'm a smart one. I can tell you one thing. I'm as smart as a chicken that's trained. And the birds that are trained out there, when you put a bird feeder out there, and you put a little lever out here, the fulcrum, the balance, and it opens a little trap door, and the bird sits on it, and he sees the feed come down. He doesn't have to eat that feed more than three times, and he jumps on the bar. One time is enough. Not 300 times. To know that what Brother Branham writes, whether you like it or not, or I like it or not, see any sense or not, it's got to be right. You see, you're dealing with the faith premise that God laid down. And if you believe in God at all, then you've got to follow this. Otherwise, you don't believe in God. You believe in your own imagination. And you become your own God. Yeah. All right. Let God do the testifying. If the works, the things that I'm preaching, don't testify back that it's the truth, then it's not the truth. But if the Word speaks of this, and here it is, then what are you going to do about it? There again, that's 100% vindication. Anybody could say that. Then the man passes off the scene dead, and people still cut around and think the guy's got something on the ball. Yeah. Some crazy preacher. And then they all die, and they're all dead, and they go to hell with him. See, I don't care. Moses died, but Moses' words held. Jesus died, and his words held. Paul died, and his word held. William Branham died, and his words hold. Because they're not his words, they're the word of God. Now, he's mixing Alpha and Omega, back and forth, and Jesus said, I know you. You think you know Moses. You might have known the history of Moses, or the historical Moses, but you don't know his God, for I was before Moses. I was the one that talked to Moses, for I am the I am, I'm the Word. They couldn't see it, because they're of their father the devil. Their denominations wouldn't let them see it. See it against the Word. That didn't stop the Word from going on just the same. It fell on some, and from that came a bride in that generation. Now remember, the Father was speaking in the Son. Jesus said that in John 14 and 10, and he only did the things the Father showed him in John 5, 19, or whatever verse that is. All right, how different? Painted fire. In other words, Brother Branham is talking about the painted fire of history, relying on instead of the living fire that is today. See, in other words, God appeared back there, so he appeared to Moses, and they're gonna work at that and rely on it. They don't even listen to what Moses said about the future. Jesus said, the Father that sent me is with me. And the works that I do testify, because I'm going to do the same thing that the Scripture said I would do. All right. Look at the fact here that in the day of the Alpha. He said, the Scriptures testify of me of the things I'm going to do. And when he spoke of his self-sacrifice, that he would die for the sins of the people, they rejected it 100%. Now, in the light of the ministry today, what is that same God going to do that brought this word? He is going to raise the dead, change the believers that believe in this message, have a rapture, incarnate himself at the wedding supper, and come back with his bride. Now, that's exactly what is going to happen in this hour, the same as Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. There shall be no sign given to wicked and other generations, save the sign of the prophet Jonas, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he will rise again. Now, even the disciples that were with Jesus, God incarnate, you know, they had a whale of a job taking it. And they never really got disenfranchised from all their old thinking until Jesus stood in their midst, excoriated them, and then opened their eyes. You think the same thing could happen to us in the resurrection? Certainly it could. Who am I to say it wouldn't? What I'm trying to say is this, and I'm saying the same as the prophet, what Jesus said in the time of the Alpha, and he says in the Omega, is going to come to pass, period. And if you're a part of it, you'll believe it. You just sit back and relax and rest, knowing that that's exactly what it is. See? They couldn't understand, they couldn't take it. They're denominational, they're of the devil. But that did not stop the word going on just the same. And there were some of those that absolutely qualified, and they became the bride of that generation, the same as in Paul. And the same as in this hour, there is going to be a bride. Now, all right, how different? Painted fire. Jesus said, the Father sent me, he's with me. The works that I do testify, because I'm going to do the same things the Scripture said I would do. Jesus knew their historical God. Same now. Yes. Why they knew the historical God, who he is, because they had historical seed. Now, what is historical seed? These guys can talk about justification. They can talk about sanctification. They can talk about the baptism. They can talk about a lot of things. Let's go back and look at it. In chapter 6 in the book of Hebrews, read it many times, it says, go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works, and faith toward God, doctrine, baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection, dead, and eternal judgment. The life has gone out of it. There's no resurrection for those people. The best they can qualify in is the second resurrection. Why? Because the same one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, is here now. And they crucified to himself. See, Alpha is Omega. You can't fool with this, brother, sister. You've got to come right down and understand it and see where we are at, because that's what Brother Branham is doing. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about himself. Why? Because they're both prophets. Has nothing to do with William Branham trying to be Jesus Christ or reincarnation or this, that, and the other thing. That is a lot of hogwash and stupidity. And it's absolutely of the devil. It's a wicked spirit from hell that would try to do that. Spirit of sin and unbelief. See? Why did they not receive him? Because it was hybrid with denomination. In other words, the ground couldn't take it. It was the wrong... It wasn't the husbandry of God. It was the husbandry of the devil. They weren't seed of God. Jesus knew who sent him, for he that sent him was with him, was in him, and there was no denominational tie to him. Amen. Tell me which one. What school did he come from, they said? Where did he get this wisdom? Where did this learning come from? They couldn't find a school that he ever went to. And yet at 12 years old, he confounded the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh my, that fulfilled it. Why didn't they say something to him then as a kid? It was God's word. They couldn't withstand that. See, they wondered why this boy could do all this. And he hadn't even done a miracle yet, but he spoke with authority. Now, you know what? If he hadn't had a bunch of miracles and he played their game, they would have listened. But the minute he had those miracles, and that gave validity to him, there is no way that Satan will take validity. Just like they're using right today, Darwin's theory of evolution is the biggest bunch of hogwash in all the world. There is no place where you can find one mutation today. Now, here's Dr. Merkel positively, I've said it before many times, every cell in your body has an intelligence. And when Dr. Merkel took the intelligence of the chondriana of an animal and a human being, the animal was so much lower than the human being, proved there was no... The human being did not descend at all from that. If anything at all, the other would descend from him. Of course, he's a creationist, and they don't believe it. Why didn't they say something as a kid? It was God's word. They couldn't withstand that. No wonder the people were astonished at his doctrine. Do you ever read that in Mark 1:22 if you want to put it down? That Bible says he was astonished at doctrine. The people were astonished at his doctrine because he talked like somebody that had authority. He knew what he was talking about. Certainly. The church now should have a double portion of the Spirit. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about getting away from denomination, which is the Word of God cluttered up with man's ideas and understanding, and getting right back to the true Word. So if he's talking now then about that, he's got to be talking about the Spirit moving in such a manner that you could not possibly fail to see, if you're a child of God, that this is the revealed Word for the hour. He said, "For it is true, like Elijah's garment that fell upon Elisha, double portion, the same thing came from Jesus Christ." Now, the same thing came from Jesus Christ. Didn't say it came upon him. Said it came from him. And I believe Brother Branham is referring again to John 14 and 12. "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do in greater works than these, because I go to my Father." Now you see, oh, Brother Branham, you're talking about his church. That's right, that's his body. Isn't my wife part of my body? Isn't your wife part of your body? Flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, the holy union, is that right? That's the reason a Christian shouldn't be married to a harlot. See, that's not right, to be married to a harlot. No, sir, because it breaks all the rules and the Word of God. You say, "Oh, Brother Branham, wait a minute. You talk about the Spirit of Christ being upon," now he's talking about the church, "the Bible said it would." Is that right? Isaiah 9:6 said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of his kingdom there shall be no end, and the government shall be upon his," what? "Shoulder." Now, that's part of his body. Now, Brother Branham is taking us right here, and he's separating head from body. That's what you're looking at. Remember, the head controls the body. That's part of his body. That's his body, is it? His shoulders are part of his body. Where's the government on earth at? In his body. The saints shall judge the earth. Is that right? Now, we want to look and understand here that Brother Branham is going from John 20, the forgiveness of sins, which only God can do. But if the church is supposed to do it, there has to be some way it can be done. Now, we're looking now from that particular point of empowered to do that to the actual government. Now, he's showing that the saints do have authority and power in the earth, because there's where the body is. It's in the earth. That's where the body of Christ is, the bride of Christ. All right, let's keep reading. Paul said, "I dare you to go to court with one another and not take it before the church." That's right. Saints shall judge the earth. Where's the government going to be upon? Upon the shoulders. His body. The government upon his shoulders, that's a part of the body. What is it? His earthly strength. Now, why is it earthly? Because it's his body here in the earth. That's what's down here. Remember, headship has only recently come. And headship is in the form of the Holy Ghost. It's Elohim himself. He's taking up his headship. He's brought the capstone message, which is the full measure of the Holy Spirit, proven by his presence, right here upon the church. So right away, you've got a double portion. In the very sense that the church itself has been anointed and obligated to certain things that it should perform. And God himself is here with that bride as the head to perform those things that he himself only can perform. So now you've got a complete picture here of the government. As even Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is amongst you." He's right here. Now, that's a part of his earthly strength. Now, his earthly strength was when God was manifested bodily in Jesus, the fullness of Godhead. His body on earth now is not one member, but many members, And in there, in this hour, we find the very power of Almighty God ministered through a part of the body. Brother Branham said, if my hand does it, the body does it, through the prophet, God operating. What is it? His earthly strength. Now, the earthly strength, to be known, has to be vindicated. Because you cannot see God, you cannot hear God, you cannot taste God, you cannot smell God. You can say you feel Him, but you're wrong. You can't. You're feeling an emotion, you're feeling a sensation, but you reach out and try to touch God, there's no way. What you feel in your body is not God. What you might hear in your inner ear is not God. It's merely the Holy Spirit causing a vibration of some description. It's any more than tongues is God or the Holy Ghost. It's just a manifestation because it's simply a gift. Now, so what he's saying in here now, his earthly strength, God's earthly strength, is his word made flesh in his body here on earth, bringing it to pass. So he's telling you here, God, his earthly strength, is right here in the church today and 100% manifested. Now, we've showed you this many, many times in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it tells you in verse 20, now Christ has risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one to come back from the resurrection, 100% dead and came back. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, as in Adam all died, and Christ all made alive. Every man is on earth. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is appearing, his presence. Now then it says, come at the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put all things under his feet. Now that word, to put under and made subject, absolutely is the same word of Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, the Lord descend with a shout. And that word is a command. So God has come right down now to put all things under the feet of Jesus, consequently himself, in order that in the resurrection he may incarnate himself and the bride may be presented to him. Now that's what you understand. Now, so he's saying here, what is it? His earthly strength. That's a government upon his shoulders. That's the bride. That's the body and earth. God's earthly strength is his word made flesh in his body here on earth, bringing it to pass. Listen, let's bypass some of it. God's messengers always have been rejected. Now you can tell right here that Brother Branham is telling you the church people will not believe this. Are we going to believe it? Because he is absolutely identifying himself with this body and the strength of God, the government of God. In other words, how God brings everything in divine order, how God's doing things. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're looking at something here. Listen, let's bypass some of it. God's messengers have always been rejected. You believe that? Moses was rejected. Is that right? Jesus was rejected. And Luke said in 10, if you want to write it down, and Samuel 8 and 7, God's message was rejected. God had a messenger, a prophet called Samuel. Do you believe it? Rejected him and his message. They took the world. This is the law of God. This is going. I don't know whether to say this or not. This is the law of God. God's law is to receive a vindicated servant. Later on, you'll hear him say, you can only worship and serve God by a prophet. So what he's telling you here, the earthly power of God, the actual government of God that's on earth here, has to come through his bride, and positively the bride can only get it through the headship of a prophet. It can't get it any other way. And that lets you know, if there's going to be a bride ruling on this earth, a virgin of the word, there's got to be an omega to catch up with the alpha. And that's exactly what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians. Now, what I preach from what Brother Branham taught, do you think any theologian is going to agree? Huh! I'm going to face him at the white throne. And I'll point my finger and say, you should have listened, but you wouldn't do it. You're too smart for your own good. You get all the answers. Not one based upon vindication. Not one that you could prove except by your mouth, mouthing off stupid things of history. The fathers and this and that. Your fathers ain't worth a plug nickel. unless they had a prophet. Say, Brother Avail, don't Brother Avail me. I'm going to take you right to the book of Hebrews. They're right in the first chapter. There, God, who in many parts and many ways spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. The fathers ain't worth a lick. It ain't got a lick. So there goes all your Catholic Church fathers and all the Protestant fathers. That's why the Bible said, don't you dare call any man your father. The closest you could come to call any man your father is a prophet, because you are the children of the prophet. And you don't even dare call him your father there, except in the sense he brought you the gospel. Like Brother Branham said concerning his wife, she is my wife, and yet she is also my daughter in the gospel. All right, God's law is to receive a vindicated prophet. That's the law for you and me to understand. See, and all of this up here that he's talking about, you and I don't have a smell in it, a smattering to do with it, unless there comes a prophet. Now, if not William Branham, another prophet. That was the Apostle Paul. None since then. None since then. See, let's just prove that a moment. I want you to take one scripture in John 13 and 20. Let's see, I got something written down here. So we go to John 13 and 20. And I didn't write it down either, so I'm going to read it. All right, it says, if I send you, that he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receives him that sent me. So there's no way that you can have God in union with you, in favor with you, or any condition other than a prophet. Now that was established way back in Deuteronomy, under the time of Moses. So we know it. Verily I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I send receives me, receive me, receives him that sent me. A vindicated servant. Oh, brother, there's 1,000 sermons lying right there. That's true. I'd preach at least 100 for him about vindication. It's the law of God receiving. Vindication is the law of God. You haven't got a prayer. You haven't got a hope. You are not born again. You will never see the light of the New Jerusalem. You will never be in the millennium. You will never make the first resurrection unless you believe this. Well, Brother Bill, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. You're a liar. Because you will take that verse and try to build on it when that verse is contingent upon a whole lot of other verses. I never saw a building yet made out of one piece of lumber or one stone. The only one piece in the whole universe is that stone made without hands that's coming down to take over. Yeah. Vindication. Now, if all my tapes were on computers, just how many times do you think the word vindication would be found in about 900 sermons? About 90,000 times, I suppose. Over 9,000, I can tell you that flat. I would say at least 20 times per sermon the word vindication has been used. That's 18,000 times, if not 20 or more. And I can stand a minute and just say it over and over, just see how many times I can say it. Of course, it's just as many times you could reject it. I could get more hip and more happy saying it, you get more dejected, more angry, and walk off. See, live, die, sink, or swim. And you're not going to get a second round of vindication. It's over. Any more than you can take the Pythagorean theorem and say, I'm going to change it. Now, you can mess with the circle just a little bit. Because as far as I know, when you're going to take pi, you're going to take, what is it, 3.17 and go to infinity. Isn't that right? I think, no, there's no way you can trace it down. Go plumb up on the other side of heaven. You got to receive the vindicated man. Samuel came down and said, I want to ask you something. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that didn't come to pass? Now, why did Brother Branham use Samuel? He had to, because that's what's found in Acts 3. When you look at restoration, come on, let's read it again, because, hey, when people still wonder and don't understand, the difference between a chicken and an egg. Without the chicken, you don't get an egg. Without a baptizer, you don't get baptized. Little Timothy stood in that water. Let him stand there till kingdom come and he dies and the earth grows cold. Without a baptizer, he ain't baptized. Well, little Tim could baptize himself. Like fun, he can baptize himself. That makes him a stupid jerk, and every one of you in this audience a stupid jerk if you think that can happen. I'm hitting hard because some of you people still here still don't know. When you're going to wake up, as simple as ABC, do you understand that intercourse? And how a woman gets pregnant? Brother Branham says spiritual intercourse. You know, sometimes, except I know there's some sitting here that really understand. I wouldn't stick around. You could have the house. I'd give you $50,000 just carted away. Burn it down. Just go someplace. That's the truth. I'm not lying to you. Two and two make four. Five and five make ten. No chicken, no egg. And you know something? When the last chicken is gone, ain't no more chicken eggs.
Amen.
And when God, the Holy Spirit, the baptizer, leaves here with his bride, there's no more baptisms amongst the Gentiles. 144,000 Jews only. I hope you're not puzzled. Sometimes I get rough on you and you want to just get that blank look on your face. Please don't do that. Get mad or get happy, but don't stonewall me. Hey, we just can't go on year in, year out. There's got to come a time when people realize who is here, what is he doing, where did he come from, what's he doing with us, what are we doing with him, where are we going, what is this all about? I'm convinced, brother, sister, what of this film that I showed you, and I'll get another one. We'll get Peter to analyze it because it's absolutely too technical for anybody to understand except a thoroughgoing qualified scientist. And you'll find what absolutely makes me believe that this man has discovered the secrets of light, and he'll tell you how the light came down and forming a vortex with 918 pythons and this and that, bringing to the place where this produces matter and light. And Brother Branham said, when you get there, it's all over. Now let me tell you this. When those chondriona, which we have, can come against all these diseases, and they will operate almost identical to the HIV virus, there's going to come a time when there's nothing on earth will stop it. Why? Because you see light and you see death. Completely exemplified. I'm not excited. I'm just violent. Can't you understand tonight we're talking about? The second death, my brother, sister. You can't talk about light unless there's something there manifested. Neither can you talk about death unless there's something manifested. The second death is set in, completely exemplified now by the HIV virus. They can do what they want about it. I don't care what they say. But the minute you think you have an antidote against that, you're crazy. Because I'll tell you something, death must conquer and control this earth. But the mighty conqueror bring about a resurrection. And show what Eve did in Adam was nothing but an interruption. And this earth will be populated. And men and women in control for the glory of God. Now you won't find a bunch of macho men and females. Feminists. Like old Rush says, feminazi. Boy, was he right. Clicking their heels walking down the street. I got nothing against my sister, but don't talk to me about women in the world. I'm not a homosexual. I don't want men, and I want women. Forget it. It's all going to burn and be destroyed. There's only a little bride and some foolish virgin going to make it. Only God's seed would endure. Sam, has Seth ever taken anything? Oh, I'm going to read here in Acts, the third chapter. I didn't read it before, did I? All right. It says when after there's this great healing revival, he'll send Jesus Christ, which is appointed, and the heavens must retain the restoration of all things which the prophet said. That's a revealed word, the word. And then it said, for Moses truly said, the prophet will come. And then it says in verse 24, yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after have told of these days. So Brother Branham goes back to Samuel. He's in the mold of Samuel. Samuel never brought the word. But he was the living demonstrator and revealer of it. And he proved it by reading men's hearts and thoughts. And he said, I know why you're coming. He said, your father's mules are lost. Don't worry, they're found. Brother Branham was a perfect Samuel. Brought up a little child. Could neither smoke nor drink or defile himself with women. A complete virgin. What else do you think God would have? Some beer-slugging jerk? How can it be like a second John the Baptist? It's okay for you and me out there to get all messed up with the world, the flesh, and the devil, but not that prophet. No. When John the Baptist received the Holy Ghost in Mother's womb, why do you think that halo of like the Spirit of God manifested over Brother Branham's head? Come on, you got a perfect parallel. And you see the word twice given under Brother Branham with greater power than at the beginning. People don't want to believe that. Not that you pass it off. Will they investigate? No, they won't investigate. You're just like when the Pharisee said, oh, search and see. Why, no prophet comes out of Galilee. He never came out of Galilee, born in Bethlehem. What happened to the story about the wise men coming and Herod killing the children? Oh, convenient to forget it. You don't find one more thought in the Bible about it. Even though it's Old Testament scripture for it and fulfilled in the day of Jesus. You just shake your head in disbelief, my brother, sister, but don't worry, that's the way it has to be. Have you ever took offerings and built buildings or done great things or do a lot of great Have I ever took up any offerings to build great big buildings and do a great lot of things and glorify myself? They say, nope. Has God proved to answer the word that I have said? Yep, that's okay, they said. Well, why didn't you hear me? See, they wouldn't. They wanted the king. Jesus said to the Pharisees, we know you're born in fornication. He said, which of you can condemn me of sin? Yeah, anybody can talk, but he said, prove it. Let me show you God's word and see if you believe it. See if God vindicates it in you. And let me speak of myself. If I speak of myself, I'm a liar. But if I speak of God and God speaks through me by his word, then it's the truth. Then who believes the word of God? Me or you? Aha, they had it. See, Jesus put them on the spot. And yeah, I'm going to tell you something. There's been a war going on in heaven, and there won't be any peace until it's all over. Jesus said, he that receives them that I send, receive me. And now them that he sends, and them that receives me, receives him that sent me. Wish we had time to linger on that. You can only serve God as you do and believe the prophets that God sends. See, there's the quote. You can only serve God on earth. Watch that now. You can only serve God on earth. The body's on earth. And the body there is part of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is amongst you. You can only serve God on earth. See, as God's servants that sent on earth by divine inspiration interpret the word to you. And that's William Branham the prophet. You believe that? He's one of them. If you want to put down some scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Also 11 and 1, Luke 10:16. See what he said. What Jesus said there, Luke 10:16, believe we're right close to it here. Let's see what it says in Luke 10:16. Then he said also, there's 1 Corinthians 14:16, 11:1, and so on. Now, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. Well, that's logical. If you listen to the one that he sent, you listen to him and the one that sent him. And if you just turn down the one that comes to talk to you, you turn down Jesus, you turn down God, turn down the Father, no problem. That proves that God speaks his message through his servants. Always has, that's right. Now who are the servants? Prophets. Now, the power of the believing church, Christ has all power in heaven and earth. You believe that? Then what if he's in you? Has Christ got all power? Matthew 28:18. All right. He is the seed word in his body, and he in us becomes the seed word in us. What all that God was, he poured into Christ, and all Christ was poured in the church. That's the power. Now, it's a good idea not to confuse the church and the prophet and throw the prophet out, because that's what a lot of people are going to do right there. So, well, all right, we got all the power, then who needs a prophet? Just a minute. You cannot use the power of God without authority to use the power of God and the knowledge of how to use the power of God, because that's what Satan did. And many people don't realize Christians act more like the devil than they do act like God. Because God himself is 100% confined by his own word. Then if God himself is bound by, confined by, and can only do according to his word, what does that leave you and me? Pretty presumptuous if we think we can pull something off and use the power of God. So you see, the whole church is more, not less, but more, children of the devil and worshiping the enemy with the very energy and life that God's given them. Oh yeah, you're going to have to answer for it. It must come to his body. I want to get this in real good. I want this to grind down. The seed of Christ must, M-U-S-T, must come through his body, not through a denomination, but through a born-again seed of the Word, must come through. Now, what's he talking about? The Word. He's talking about the Word. The only way the church can have the absolute pure Word of God, that means the complete Word with the complete revelation, and that hour applies to that bride. No way but through a prophet. Now, you see why we haven't had a virgin bride for all these years? It's impossible. There's no way the bride, that Christ could come through a bride that was filthy, a prostitute. So what you're saying here, that word has got to come through the church, which comes through a prophet. As Brother Branham said, Philip had the germ. We find it over here again. Now remember, what is it? Christ's seed. How does my seed come? See, there you are, through the body. How does the apple tree seed come? Through the body. Seed is through the body, and the church is the body of Christ. Is that right? Now, spoken word is original seed. Then what must the church finally produce? The original seed. This is word. No way can you bring Christ to a harlot. The Bible church. The seed is through the body, and the church is the body of Christ. That's right on earth here. And this is where his power is. This is where it all lies. It's not in heaven. It's all got to happen right here. Is that right? See, look, let's face it. The resurrection happens here. The rapture takes place here. The tribulation takes place. The sealing of the Jews takes place here. The coming down on earth takes place here. There's going to renovate by fire. You're going to reign 1,000 years here. The white throne is set up here. Everything is set up here. After it's all over, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And remember, the people must be those of whom it was said to Adam and Eve, your seed. And you'll be standing right with them. There won't be one child of God miss anything. Won't miss it at all. Especially the firstborn. Remember, the firstborn. All right. Now, remember, what is it? Christ's seed. How does my seed come? Through the body. How's the apple seed come? Through the body. Seed is through the body. That's life. And Christ, and the church is the body of Christ. Is that right? And the Bible church. The word church, Bible church. This birth produces, now watch, this birth produces, that's a new birth, himself in body. His church is his word, so that people can see the confirmation of Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe it. These are not denomination hybrids now. This is those that's in the orbit waiting for the countdown. You know what I mean? Fixing to take a rocket. Glory. These are not denomination hybrids, not standing in here. They're not. No, sir, it's the seed. In other words, back to Ephesus. Now, notice in here, he talks about Hebrews 13:8. And what is Hebrews 13:8? Genesis 18. Where Abraham and God are outside the tent, and Sarah's inside the tent, and behind, with his back turned, he discerns completely all about her. And Brother Branham said, that's the last sign the church will see. Now, if the church hasn't got that, The church will say, just a minute. Now, you're wrong on that Hebrews 13 and 8, because this is how we see it. I don't care how anybody sees it. If the prophet said different, that's it, and that's the paradox, because he's right. I've changed my mind for nothing. Now, we're right back to Ephesus. Now, 55. Paul was afraid that the people would want some kind of big words that he could say due to education. In 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 8, you want to put it down. He said, I never came to you speaking words intellectually, you know, that your faith might be in some seminary thing, but I came to you with the simplicity and the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now, that's your words. No, that your faith would rest in the Word of God. Yes, sir. So now, how do you prove the Word of God? Vindication. Remember we read it back here? No vindication, forget it. Pope talks all he wants. I can forgive sins. I can do this. I can do that. He cannot. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But there will be a pope that does mighty signs and wonders, and he'll be the Antichrist, the devil incarnate. I think he'd be a pretty wonderful guy. Oh, he'll be very affectionate toward Jesus. Yes, he will, till the day comes he thinks he can kill him. He'd do his best. Take right over. Say, worship me now. A bunch of birds will do it, too. Remember, Eden was worship. And remember, the very thing about Jesus is not Son. No, not Father. It is Jesus and God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he come on earth? As the number one son in order to worship. And if you're not a true son, you aren't going to be engaged in the worship that God wants you to worship with. There's no way. See, I don't care what anybody says. We can worship 100% different on people who say, you ain't got nothing. Say, that's exactly right according to you. I agree. According to you. But I myself am not agreeing with you. I got my own revelation through a vindicated prophet. See? It's got to be. Paul said, look, and I read you that in myself. I showed you that in Romans and in several places. Paul had in Book of Acts right down the line, vindication. Although the denomination churches would outnumber the bride 1,000 to 1, more than that. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Bible teaches it? Isaiah 54 and 1? He promised it for. You want me to read it? All right. sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Is that right? More are the children of the whore than the married wife. Sure, outnumbers many times. Though they be more in numbers, they have no true father. Well, they got a true father, all right, the old devil. But they don't have a true father. Because the true father is the father of truth. They don't have the truth. Now, the denominational kind is represented in Jude 8 to 13. So let's read it. I was anxious to get there. All right. Likewise, also these dreamers, they're filthy. They got the word filthy, doesn't need to be there. Likewise, these dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now, he's talking about the body. On earth, the government, upon his shoulders, going to take the world over. And boy, do they despise the bride. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now that's, you know what that is, the unrighteous deed, false worship, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. That's your Pentecostals. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds without water, carried about a wind, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's what Brother Branham says about these denominationals. That's the secular church, clouds without rain, foaming out their own shame. The Pentecostal church is represented in that denominational group in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1 to 8. Now, here's a prophet telling you this. Well, Brother Brown is just guessing. He just wants to make a point. Ho, 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 ho. Lee Vail might, but not the prophet. If I didn't have something way better than Lee Vail and some of these guessers out here, forget it. I'm going plumb to hell and be the first one in the line. All right? Let's go to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And he's talking about 1-8. All right, this also known in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's just like Peter. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. Who said so? There's got to be standards somewhere. Without more natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of such, for this sort are they which creep into houses, you can just see them oozing in like serpents, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, how did Jannes and Jambres resist the truth? They knew that their power was not comparable to the power of God. And they saw reality, and they turned it down. That's your Pentecost, the whole bunch. You can't beat it. Now, have a form of godliness, their seed produced their kind. That's right, seed always produces kind. Notice the eunuch. Oh, here we're going to get something deep now. Watch. This seed church, this real church, with the real true sperm. Okay? What's he quoting from? 1 Timothy. I beg your pardon, 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And verse 21, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, being begotten, not a corruptible spora, but of incorruptible spora, by the word, the sperm of God, the word, which lives and abides forever. There, you're right there. See, the word's got to come. If there's not a true gospel, how is the church going to remit sin? There's only one way for the church to remit sin. The government God upon earth here, the true bride of Christ, the body, the temple of God. There's only one way, and that is by the word. And if they haven't got that word, then the sins cannot be remitted. Well, I don't believe that. Hallelujah. I'm preaching this. Go ahead and preach it. I don't give it. You see what this does, brother, sister, whether you're getting it or not. I've said it 100 times. I'll say it again tonight. Without this message, I wouldn't have a hope of believing the Bible that 8 souls make the ark. If this word doesn't separate, I don't know what does, and I'm not interested. So I built myself a house, and I tried the grace of God. It's on the solid rock. A revelation that's not going to move. All right. Now watch this seed church, this real church with the real true sperm. See, notice, the eunuch had been with all the DDs. Now remember, God never committed his preaching and his gospel to an angel. How many know that? How many know Galatians 1:8? If an angel came from heaven and preached something else, then Paul had preached, let him be accursed. So the angel's wrong if he's different from the word. God came on down below angels, committed it to man, which was his sons. Do you believe that? Now watch. Now he never committed the gospel or the word to the angels. Notice he did not do it. Now they could tell about events and things. Now Philip had been up at Pentecost, Jerusalem, for worship. Now how many see amen to that? The eunuch, he had been with all the DDs and LLDs. That's a eunuch from Ethiopia who's riding in the chariot. He'd been to Jerusalem, but he hadn't been with the disciples. He'd been with the big mucky mucks, the Sanhedrin. That's what he'd been with, all the DDs and LLDs. But why didn't he get something? He came back down studying the prophecy of Isaiah. Although an angel directed Philip to him, but the germ of life had to come through the body. Philip. He was a member of the body. Oh, brother, now we're on the line. Where did the germ come from? Through the angel? Nope. The angel showed him where to go. An angel is a messenger. Here is a son. And he's Philip. Philip had the germ. the message, the word. There is no forgiveness outside. And listen, I can shock my system from my heart to my toes and back again just saying those words. But I'm going to keep saying him because the prophet said it. There's no life outside of this message. Consequently, there can't be any forgiveness outside of it. That takes care of it. And I don't care how much my mental mentality wants to reject it. I'm going to keep on saying it and saying it because that is the truth. Because actually, that's what I'm standing on. Or why not get out of here? Join the Pentecostals. Have a whoop-de-doo-de-doo. Maybe it'd even be like those 20 goof-offs that got in one car all naked. Make your cup of tea. I hope not. But I can see speculating it sure be a wow application, wouldn't it? You're young enough. Well, don't you see what I'm telling you? That's what Paul said. If this isn't it, get out. Why are you here? Answer me, why are you here? Why do you come here? There's only one reason. You've got to believe this message. That's your entire hope. That's your life. Or stay home and go to bed. I get wakened up here myself. And I get so wakened up I can't sleep when I get home. Hey, now here, Philip had the germ, the message, the word. That's how a child can be born. Philip laid his hands upon him. Philip baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There came forth the Spirit of God. Sure. Now the germ had to come from the body. What body? Christ's body. Correct. And Philip was a member of that body. Now listen, the same thing took place in Acts 10:48. Peter on the housetop. An angel directed him to Cornelius' house. Where'd the word come from? The body. I feel pretty good. I feel like traveling on. An angel came and said, don't worry. Don't call nothing unclean. Just go on. Don't think nothing. And while Peter spake these words, not the angel, not the cardinal, while Peter spake these words, what? He was the body. He had the word. The word took hold. Oh, brother. Oh, my. The angel directed it, but the life came through the body of Christ. The Bible says, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. And if he'd have preached one word off, forget it. Why? Because God would have destroyed his own godhood. If he backs any word but his own, he's not God anymore. Because whoever word he's backing has got the hold on him. They got a choke on him. And they're running him. Now you tell me now a church can run God. Oh, brother, sister. Paul unto the way of Damascus, a vision directed him. But Ananias, there's the germ, had the word. Amen. That prophet Ananias saw a vision. Go up there and lay your hands on him. Said, Brother Saul, the Lord appeared that appeared to you on the road coming down here. How do you know? He had the word. The word of the Lord came to the prophet, prophesied, went up there and said, he came up, sent me up here that I might lay my hands on you, and you'd be healed and receive the Holy Ghost, receive your sight. And the scales fell off of his eyes, and he rose and was baptized in the name of Jesus and went to studying. Angel directed. That's right. But Paul had the seed germ. It takes the Spirit of God, the seed to give life eternal. Why? Now, 2 o'clock. I know I'm going to read some more. All right. Now, listen close. Here's what I picked up for the pen for. Part of it. Do you see, friends, what I have, the way I've stood, the way I have? See? Why I'm contending. What's he contending? Contending to bring the pure, unadulterated, original, revealed word of Paul back to the people. Then it's all over. What God does with that doesn't matter. But remember, William Branham identified himself as a part of the body of Christ. And the word, the seed, must come through the body. Paul identified himself as a part of the body of Christ. He went so far as the same as Brother Branham said. Listen, he said, did the word of God come to you? Did it come out of you? He said, it came to you. You shut up, sit down, and listen. Right. That's not kidders now. All right. I'm contending. Get away from those denominations and get a real church of God. See why it's got to come out of the Word? It can't come by the wisdom of man. It's got to come by the Word of God. That's the reason I believe the Word just the way it's written. Oh, does he? That's pretty good to say that 100 million other guys can say the same thing. And he'll challenge 100 million guys to say the same word. Say they believe the same thing. That statement is a funny statement. All the time he's been talking about vindication, vindication, vindication to a prophet. He's that prophet. Then he's not like these guys. He showed you right here, these guys in Jude, they take the same Bible you and I take. The same guys in 2 Timothy take the same Bible you and I take. If I believe that Bible, yes, sir, I believe it. But you don't believe it this way. The Roman Catholic Church took the truth and destroyed it. The Protestants were scared to touch it. Now, here's a man come on the scene vindicated and say, listen, church, there's only one source, and you are the source of that word by reason of a prophet. That's why he said, end-time evangelism. What is it? End-time gospel. What is it? There isn't any more, because the end time, the Alpha is the Omega, and the Omega is the Alpha. And when you go back, the complete circle, become Ephesus again, the original word, you've got a bride, it's all over. The origins of life have come before us, proven with a microscope, whose average was 12,000 times magnification, and now the next film is greater still with the new microscope. It's all over. Now, is science making it? No. Are theologians? No. What's going to send you through? I'll tell you what's going to send you through. We're going to go home. We're going to go right to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and we're going to read it. Because that's exactly the truth. And Paul says here in verse 7, and you who are troubled, rest with us. When? Relax. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not. Forget that part of it. You are troubled, rest with us. When he shall be revealed from heaven, verse 10, when he comes to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Let's read it again. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe. When God becomes the complete head of the church, according to the witness and testimony of Paul, Paul's gospel, that's the time the earth is going to burn. And the bride's going to get out of here. That hour is right now. Yep. We're right back. Listen, we may not see it as clear as the prophet. We may not understand as clear, and that's an understatement. We may not have as much reverence as seared in 100 million things that go with it. The 100 million things do go with that. We might not have it. I'll tell you one thing, we got the truth right at this point. Now, you've got this as far as we've gone. There's no way we're not going to go all the way. There's going to be a bride to get out of here, and by the grace of God, we're going. Anybody wants to say that's his privilege. If you don't like it, that's your privilege. If you like the leeks and garlic of Egypt, that's your privilege. Yep. I prefer manna. Doesn't let you go out there a while and hoop it up with the Pentecost, the Baptist, and all the rest of them. No, it doesn't do that, that's for sure. You can't go up there and do this and do that. You got to stick with the word. I still prefer. I wouldn't trade what I got in this message for anything else in the world. And furthermore, I'm not even interested in trying to make anything of it in order to go out and get something better, because this is best. Now, as far as I know, I can say according to the English, it's good, better, best. And when this is best, it's better than good. I'm standing with the reality of the Word of God. Let's stand and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your goodness and mercy to us, the love of God which has been revealed from heaven, and the Word and the love of God which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and the conduit being the Word. And we know, Lord, we have a real love and a witness when we scatter with you and stand with you. And we're not by your own grace, Lord, and your own help within us, and bleeding by that we are true seed. We are not scattering against you. No, but we are standing with you. Lord, you who came down to bring all things under your feet in order that there might be a bride presented to Christ. And we stand there in that great day at the wedding supper. We know, Lord, it's just exactly what the prophet said. When your children sinned in the Garden of Eden, you did not send an angel, an archangel, a cherubim, or somebody else. You came down yourself. And so today in this hour. And we are rejoicing that the headship is here and the body is coming together. And it's all being done by you, Almighty God, that you might have this beautiful, glorious bride to present to your Son. And there'll be the great day of the incarnation, one more mystery of God
which, Lord, we don't perhaps understand. Maybe we don't need to, but we accept it with all our hearts. That will be that day, as Brother Branham said, when that Spirit that's done means becomes incarnate to us. We're kind of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that will be the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of David. The Lily of the Valley, altogether lovely. We believe that, Lord. There we're going to see the all in all and be a part of it, Lord. Worshipping, worshipping, worshipping. What a marvelous, marvelous thing. Looking forward to the beautiful New Jerusalem, the Lamb on the throne, the bride around, and the pillar of fire above, and the others bringing their glory in. What a great day, Lord. Father in heaven, we know that looking down that road doesn't mean one thing if we're not looking at what is lying before us here, as the prophet said. Always they make this mistake. Always looking back. Always looking forward. Always saying great things God's done, great things God's going to do. But they fail to see the great thing you're doing. Lord, we believe you're doing the great thing now. And we stand with that, Lord. We stand right in there, wedged in, hedged in. God, I believe that we're right where Jesus said, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is going to pluck them out of that hand. He that hath begun a good work will perform it till this very day, and we believe it's being formed, performed, and consummated. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen.